San Serení de la buena, buena vida, hacen así, así los lavanderos, así, 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 así me gusta a mí. San Serení de la buena, buena vida, hacen así, así los carpinteros, así, así.
You're listening to the music of Nueva Canción singer and songwriter and 2020 National Heritage Fellow, Suni Paz. And this is Artworks, the weekly podcast produced by the National Endowment for the Arts. I'm Josephine Reed. For half a century, Suni Paz has written and performed socially conscious music, Latin American folk music, and traditional children's songs. Born Elsa Calandrelli Sola, she was raised in Buenos Aires, Argentina, in a large extended family of musicians, writers, and artists. By her early teens, she was already dancing, singing, writing, and playing guitar. Her life changed when she heard the music of Atahualpa Yupanqui, an Argentinian legend who championed the music of indigenous people and awoke in Suni her passion for music with a conscience. She moved to Chile with her husband, and they began performing publicly. It was in Chile that Suni learned more about the struggles of workers, and they became the subjects of her songs. After her husband passed away and the political situation in Chile grew treacherous, Suni moved to the United States with her two sons and began working at the Latin American Studies program at the University of California, Riverside. She also began performing in folk festivals, singing about farm workers, political prisoners, the salt of the earth. She chose the stage name Suni Paz, which means everlasting peace. After earning her master's degree, she wrote a curriculum for teaching Latin American culture through songs, stories, and dances, and began performing in schools. In 1973, she recorded her first album, Breaking Out of the Silence, on Paradon Records. 22 albums followed, including 11 on Smithsonian Folkways. Suni Paz has performed alongside singers like Pete Seeger, Bob Dylan, Don McLean, and Phil Oakes. And for decades, she's collaborated with celebrated children's authors Alma Flor Ada and Francisca Isabel Campoy. In fact, Suni has composed over 500 songs for children. Suni Paz has received many awards, and now she is a National Heritage Fellow. I spoke with her late last year, and fair warning, our phone line gets a bit spotty, but she is a vibrant storyteller, and that comes through clearly. So here's our conversation. Well, Suni, I want to begin by saying congratulations at being named a National Heritage Fellow.
Yes, that was quite a surprise to me.
Well, Suni, I read your wonderful memoir, Sparkles and Shadows, and what's really clear to me from reading that is when you say music has been a central part of your self-expression, it just seems so tied to your upbringing. I want to hear all about that vast, talented clan that's your family, beginning with your aunt.
She was a writer. She was a superb writer, poet. She had awards in Europe, in France. She got 2 awards for her poetry written in French. Imagine. So she was so incredibly talented. And I sort of grew up in the same house. We were all living in the same house. We were like 14 people living in the same house. My grandparents were there, my aunts. So all these people and my grandma was there, who was an artist, and she painted and every kind of painting. And then my grandfather was a poet, a writer, and a musician. He played violin, he played piano and viola. And he was a doctor, but before he took care of his patients, he will play the violin for 30 minutes. The patients will come early to listen to the doctor play the violin. And I will sit with the patients and sometimes fall asleep in their laps listening to my grandfather play the violin. I love it so much. I wouldn't miss that for anything. And he also was an original, a total original, and adored us. And we always went in the evenings to his room and we said, Tata, because we call him Tata, Tata, can we draw? Yes, of course. And when he died, they discovered in his room a folder with all the paintings that we did when we were little. And he always told us, put your name and put this date. And he would give us the date. So he had all the paintings with our names and with the dates. And we would not have recognized the paintings were not for his taking the trouble to make sure that we had signed and put the date. I mean, he was incredible. He was an original.
And your father loved music as well. He would have you listen to operas before you could do anything else on the weekends?
Oh, yeah, we couldn't go out at all unless we sat with my father and my mother listening to a complete opera. And sometimes he gave us the
libretto?
Thank you. The libretto. So we will be following the libretto. My father with his finger will guide where we were going. And we heard from Wagner, who was very heavy for a child to listen to, all the way to every conceivable French opera, because my mother spoke perfect French. So we were going through the operas in French. So that's why French became very familiar to my ear, you know. And then sometimes if we didn't listen to the opera, he would put recordings, and he would put recordings of Debussy, Marian Anderson. That was our super hero. We adore Marian Anderson. And so we were listening to her for hours, no end, because we thought that there was no another voice as beautiful as hers. So it was a real musical education. I mean, very complete.
And when did you begin singing, Suni?
I sang for myself only when I was 13 years old that I wrote my first bolero, a loving song. I wrote two boleros, two loving songs. And I sang it only for myself and to my sister, Ana Maria, who was my pal. And I will share with her whatever. And the only one that remembered the bolero was Ana Maria. I wrote it, I sang it 2-3 times, and then I forgot about, never remember. And one day I hear Ana Maria singing, and I say, Ana, that is a very familiar song. Where did you get it? And you say, you dummy, you did it. It's your song. That was your love song, remember? No, I didn't remember. She remembered my songs. I didn't remember at all.
When did you start playing instruments?
When I was pretty fairly young, probably 16, I think, 15. I started playing the guitar. My father, who doesn't play the guitar, taught me. He felt sorry for me because I had the guitar in my hands and I couldn't do anything. And I was struggling. And he said, look, I don't know how to play guitar, but I'm going to teach you 3 chords that I know. You want to learn them? Say, yeah. So he taught me 3 chords. With those 3 chords, I started playing everything in the world. Every bolero that I knew at that time was my time of boleros. I played every bolero I could with 3 chords. And then I began going to the peñas folclóricas, you know, folk gatherings with my mom. And the musicians were there in the stage playing folk music all the time. And we were dancing.
So you and your mom used to go out to gatherings where there were folk singers.
Yeah. Yes, it's all in Buenos Aires. It's called Peña. They were folk gathering. We were going there to dance. And also sometimes we sang with the singers that were there in the stage. But the singing and the playing was in the hands of the folklorists that would come to the Peñas, get into the stage and start playing. And then we start dancing. It was a lot of fun, but I was seeing very closely the way the musicians were playing, because there were songs that I wanted to learn how to play, and I couldn't do it because I didn't know the chord. And I would struggle imitating them. And so one of the musicians saw me when they have the break, he came and he said, you want to know this course? Okay, here they are. This is what you have to do. And he showed me and he taught me. And that way I was improving. Every time I went to a Peñas, I came home with a new song with new chords. So, you know, that improved my playing the guitar enormously. And now I can play and sing.
When did you first play publicly?
Well, the funny thing is, I was in a stage, but not for singing. That it didn't happen until I came really almost to the United States. Because in Argentina, I was in the stage, yes, but I was dancing Spanish dances. I learned how to dance. I play the castanet. I play castanet still today. So my first stage performances were with dancing, not with singing. Then I entered a choir, a church choir, and I sang with a choir in a church. But the first time that I really faced audiences was in the United States. In Chile, I performed a lot in parties with my husband, who was a great singer, great guitarist. He played wonderfully. So we were singing. That was my sort of performance. And then I did the program for the University of Chile for the TV after my husband, he was passed away. Yeah, I was alone with the two children in Chile. And they offered me, if I wanted to do a program a week for the University of Chile on TV. And I said, I'm going to do it only if I can sing and talk only about Atahualpa Yupanqui. They were so surprised. And they said, well, okay, fine. So I did this program.
Suni, for those of us who might not know, tell us about the folk singer Atahualpa Yupanqui and his influence on you.
Oh, well, he was my idol. Atahualpa Yupanqui, it was of Indian descent, of indigenous descent. He lived in northwestern Argentina, where all that's the cradle of folklore. He was a collector of folk songs. But also he wrote his own song. And his own songs painted portraits of the countryside, of the Andes, of the struggles of people there. And I love the songs that he created. He also wrote books. Like I have right here in my house, like 6 books of Atahualpa Yupanqui with all his poetry. His poetry is extraordinary. It's beautiful. And many of those became songs. He put the music to it and he sang. He became very political and eventually he had to leave Argentina and went to live in Paris. And he died in Paris. I met him in New York exactly the year before he died. He was 84 years old. And so it was very important to me. Very, very important. He opened a world that I didn't know existed. I was just a little girl in the capital, sitting in my house, going nowhere, just around the block. No? So all of a sudden, and he talked about the farm workers and their struggle, the miners and their struggle. It was fantastic. It was, to me, was opening the eyes to the world. So I adore his music. And I became very political eventually because of him, because I saw the plight of the working man and of the farm worker that was mistreated, looked down, and they were putting the food in our tables. We owe our health and our life to them. And that was very painful to me. So when I came to the United States, I met the Cesar Chavez and the farm workers, and I became a singer for their cause.
Sí, de sistemas carcelarios que a inocentes torturan porque piensan diferente. Y no se asombra la gente prisionera tantas veces de sistemas carcelarios si matan a un libertario.
And you, I think also, and I'm just assuming, one other thing that you saw was how powerful music was to tell their story.
Oh, Exactly, exactly. Thank you for saying that, because that is exactly what it happened. The way it happened, I said, oh, look at that. He opened a whole world for me, a world. And I said, and how? Through a song, through music. So when I came to the United States and started singing for the children, I said, these children have to see their world open like a map in front of their eyes so they can see themselves, who they are, how important they are, how vital their function in this society. And I began finding songs. And when I didn't have them, I had to write them. And I would write the songs for them. So they will see themselves with strength and power and see how important they were. You know, they were put down all the time. They were put aside, you know. There was an incredible amount of racism. When I arrived, did you know that when I arrived, I went to a park and I went to the bathroom and I saw outside a sign that said, for blacks only, for whites only. And I said, what am I going to do? I am not black and I am not white. So where am I going? What is this? And I was overwhelmed. I didn't know anything. So I began studying about all that. I became educated, but it was a surprise.
Well, Suni, when and why did you come to the United States?
I had to leave Chile. That there was no question about that. In 65, there was coming a revolution. I could see that very clearly. And that was going to be bloody. And that was going to be horrifying. And I was with two little kids. Two and four. What am I going to do with my kid? I have to get out of there. So my neighbors who were North American, they say, you have to come to the United States. That's the place for you. You will be able to study. You will be able to do all the things that you haven't done. And I said, no, I don't know anybody. And without a contract, he said, no. We're going to get you a contract.
And by contract, you mean a contract for a job. So you'd go to the United States with a job.
Yeah, they put themselves together with three other guys that I had helped in Chile. They were North American, and I had helped them with their PhDs. Between all of them, they got convinced the Department of Latin American Studies in Riverside that I was the person they had to hire. So I came here.
You have written so eloquently about the loneliness of leaving one's country, and you talk about immigrants reinventing themselves, and I wonder how you reinvented yourself.
If I didn't reinvent myself, I would have died. Why? Because I realized that the loneliness of not having people around that speak your language and that you can move around, and I all the time hearing a language that is not mine. I said, if I don't sing, I die. It's that simple. I have to sing. So I asked a teacher that I met. I said, do you have a curriculum in your school? Yeah, sure. Can I lend it to me? She lent me a curriculum. I wrote all the songs following her curriculum. And then I told her, can I sing in your classroom? So she invited me in. The other teachers became crazy. They were all at the door listening. So I began singing in every room. So I would go to a school and sing for the person that had invited me. And then I would go room after room after room singing and doing programs. I began getting instruments that came from Africa and other places because I had to relate to this kid. I had ponchos, so I would relate to the indigenous people that were in my classroom. And drums and beats from Ghana. And I will bring all those instruments and invite them to play with me. Thus started my career as a singer first in school for the children.
And you also renamed yourself.
Oh, yes, of course. Because with the last name Calandrelli, an Italian name, very difficult to pronounce, more difficult to write, I couldn't sing folk songs. It was ridiculous. So I said, okay, for my folkloric life, I need a new name. So I named myself Suni Paz, means lasting peace, comes from Bolivia, The instrument that I play comes from Bolivia, the charango. And also, it's in Quechua. In Quechua means last in peace. I like it. Also, Paz, I love it because it's the last name that you find in every conceivable class. So I said, okay, that is my name.
So you taught in my hometown of New York City.
Yeah.
Tell me about that experience.
Well, I lived there for 14 years in New York, and I love New York. And I sang there. I began singing. Like I said, I always started with the school. And then in New York, they start inviting me to the coffee houses. Then I began singing in all the folk joints that were in the village. And so I began interacting with very famous people, which was not my interest at all. But I was very happy and was very pleased, and I was very proud that I was singing. I was singing with Phil Oakes. I was singing with, I have the man from my American Pie. You know who he is?
Don McLean.
Don McLean. He was in the village the day we sang together in a place in the village, the day that he put out and sang Bye Bye Miss American Pie.
Suni, when did you begin to record?
I began to record, probably 71. I really don't remember.
Do you remember that first experience in the studio?
Oh, yes, of course. My first recording was for Paredón Records, for Barbara Dane. Barbara Dane called me out of the blue, and he said, I've been listening to your political song, and I want to record you. I was so surprised. Okay. And so Ramiro, my son, who always played with me, always sang with me since he was 7 years old, he said, okay, I accompany you. And so we recorded my political song. And it was such an extraordinary experience. And then later on, the Smithsonian Folk, a couple of years ago, not very long, they put a book that is called The Social Power of Music. And in that Social Power of Music, they put a whole page with one of my songs, with a translation, with this, with everything. And words that I said about my music. I have it right here if you want to hear it. The work of poets and singers is like the wind. One may choose to blow sun in the eyes of the people, blinding them to reality, or one may scatter seeds of consciousness that help to nurture in the people's heart passion for justice. And I think that is the reason why I was choosing my song, the way I was choosing them, and the way I was singing. And so that book, The Social Power of Music, blew my mind when I appeared, because I didn't know it was a whole chapter of me. And then they put one on Pete Seeger. I thought that was unbelievable. I was very, very moved.
Yeah, I can see why you would be. Suni, you also write so many songs. You're such a prolific songwriter. Is that what fuels your music, that passion for culture and belief in social justice?
Of course, but it's also the respect that I feel for the children. The children, people don't sometimes respect for who they are. And they don't give them the certainty of who they are, that they are important, that they have a culture behind, that inspire them to learn about themselves, about where they come from, about their origin, the parents. What do the parents do? Where do they work? They have to know and be proud. You know what I did? I did one of the most proud of that. There was a guy in the corner of my high school that was selling ice cream. You know those ice cream little...
You mean an ice cream cart?
Thank you. So I saw he was so kind, and I see him every day, and I bought always an ice cream. And so one day I began talking to him, who are you? Where you are from? And this and that. And he told me about him, his children, his life. He had been selling to make a living for his children, but he wanted his children to be someone and to study. And he had already one of his sons was going to be a doctor and the other one was going to be like a lawyer or something like that. It was incredible. And this guy did all his life. He was in the corners of the school, in the corners of the neighborhood selling little ice cream. So I said, would you come to the classroom and talk to my students and tell them about your life? And so he said, he was surprised. Yeah. Well, yes, kind of weird. What am I going to tell them? Everything. What you just told me, tell them. Tell who you are, how you struggle, what was your life, everything. So they can open the eyes to reality and to see the value that they have in you standing there. They're a powerful person, an important person. And so he came to my class. My children were so moved. And I think after that, they made an effort to study. They became new children for me. And we have to start doing things like that. It's very, 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 very important.
Suni also has had a long collaboration with the children's author and poet, Ama Florada. Ama Florada had asked Suni to put her poems to music. Suni was uncertain, but Ama Flor came to her New York City apartment with a book of her poetry, and the rest, as they say, is history.
I open the book and I see a poem. And I said, wow, this is beautiful. Well, this is a perfect Cuban song. And I sing the song from beginning to end with a Cuban rhythm. Turn the page, and I began like that. And I said, and this one, this is a perfect and absolutely perfect corrido. And I sing it. At this point, when I came to the third song, and I say this is a perfect song from the heights of Bolivia, she said, wait a minute, let me take this little cassette out. And she began recording. But I was singing the song. That is the kind of poem they come with the music. So at the end, she said, tomorrow I pick him up, the cassette, to take it to Addison Wesley that wants to have a contract on my song.
And Addison Wesley is a publishing house.
Yeah. And I said to her, no, leave it here. And I'm going to re-record them properly. So I recorded them with an instrument. I couldn't even believe it that I was doing that. I did it. Amazed at the quality of her poetry and intelligence of her poetry. And I did the recording. And in the morning, she picked it up and took it to Addison Wesley. 1 week later, Addison Wesley, the owner, calls me. And I signed a contract for 84 songs. I wrote 84 songs. I sang, recorded 84 songs. And that was my biggest contract ever. And so I was so happy. And then after that, I continued working with her forever.
Let me just ask you this, Suni. When you're writing music on your own, when it's your own song, the lyrics and the music, how do you begin that? Is it with the words? Is it the rhythm? Is it the style? Is it an idea?
It depends. It's always the message. It depends on the message. My best song was about Chile. Chile, Paloma Herida. That was my best song. And my song, Ramiro, recognized it as such, and we did a phenomenal recording that Ramiro did. But Chile, Paloma Herida, because it was something that hit my heart. The words were coming out like a river, and together with the words was the music. So I have all the lyrics very quickly, and then I began working with the music. So in this case, it was always the lyrics. I think that was more like I did it. Sometimes I said, I want this rhythm. That is very important. My best song was also called To Garlic, Al Ajo.
To Garlic?
To Garlic. And I tell you why it was so fantastic. When I went with Alma Flor, we were teaching in Spain in the summer. Alma Flor said, hey, I know the head of the Spanish language is the most important organization of language in the whole of Spain. It's the top. They make the rules on the Spanish language. And she said, the head of it, I want to present the Ajo song to him. The Real Academia Española. The head is going to hear my song on Ajo. Okay. Well, I went with a guitar and I sang it. He said, this is the most poetic song I ever heard. I want it. Can you record it for me and make me a recording for me?
Luna salina, embelezas el aire de la cocina, del pan hermano, de la cocina pobre del artesano. Rústico primo, que pronto te arrebatas y te echan vino. Cuando arropado, no se sabe que hueles disimulado. Te doy linaje, no por la seda blanca de tu...
Nobody can imagine that you can write a song that is poetic. To garlic, but I love garlic. I adore it. I blame my mom because my mom is a Catalonian. The Catalonians use garlic for their cooking, always. So I blame my mom. I love for garlic.
And Italians do too.
And Italians also. So I have a double whammy, you know. The Italians and the Catalonians, both of them. And so I love garlic. So to me, it was a poetic song.
So, Suni, tell me what you're doing now.
What am I doing now? Now I'm trying to write this book, The Story of Chile. It's very difficult. And I never talk about Chile, so it's about time that I have something on the story of Chile, and I have incredible stories about Chile. I have to write that. And also, I writing about my trip. Went throughout Puerto Rico, singing with a group of people. I think we were 14. And we went through town after town after town all around Puerto Rico, around the island. It was a fascinating tour. And then after having sang in all the places, we went back to San Juan. And in San Juan, we went to the main plaza, I think it was a park. And they made the stage for me, and I sang there. The women were out of their mind because they never have seen a woman alone singing and playing the guitar with such a flair, like playing the guitar like a drum at times. When I finished singing, they would not let me get out of the place. They would hold me in a corner, and the women were all talking at the same time and telling me and asking me questions, but they wanted to know how a woman could have done such a thing. You know, they couldn't believe it. And I realized in that moment how oppressed women were. We were very oppressed, but I didn't never notice. I never really realized it. And I decided, okay, I have to do something about this. And I put out a recording called Entre Hermanas, Between Sisters.
Mujer, hija de claridades y nocturnos, de algas y estrellas, considera los reinos que te esperan, sueña todos los sueños, florece de la tierra y en
it was necessary and important that I will do something for women. So I did this recording. It was nothing really fabulous, the recording, but it was important.
You have been given many awards and now a National Heritage Fellowship. And I'm just so curious about what receiving this award means for you.
I'm astonished. I was flabbergasted. I couldn't believe it that I had such a such an award. That was phenomenal.
Well, it is so well deserved. And I love your music and your writing is extraordinary. That memoir is wonderful. And it's one that will stay with me for a long time, Suni.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. Nobody told me things like that about my writing. Thank you so much.
That was 2020 National Heritage Fellow, Nueva Canción singer and songwriter, Suni Paz. On March 4th, you can take a virtual trip across the country to visit the National Heritage Fellows in their homes and communities. We're celebrating the 2020 National Heritage Fellows in an online broadcast on March 4th at arts.gov. The festivities begin at 8 p.m. Eastern. That's March 4th, 8 p.m. Eastern at arts.gov. Mark those calendars. You've been listening to Artworks, produced at the National Endowment for the Arts. Please don't forget to subscribe to Artworks and then leave us a rating on Apple because it does help people to find us. And you can follow us on Twitter at NEA Arts. For the National Endowment for the Arts, I'm Josephine Reed. Stay safe, and thanks for listening.